This is the Heritage Radio Network. This is Main Course Part Q, Q for Quotidian. We try to explore some of the things that happen all around us that we might take for granted in our everyday lives. But there is nothing every day about what's happening in Bushwick today. Thanks to Arts in Bushwick, we're going to be talking with the people who organized Beta Spaces, the Bushwick Exhibition Triangle of Alternative Spaces. I got a studio full of young hipsters here. And Chloe Bass, who is the spokesperson, along with Steve Weintraub,
yes.
Yeah, who have put this organization, or at least put this exhibition together. So, Chloe, why don't you fill us in a little bit about Beta Spaces, which is today from 12 to 7 p.m., November 8th, all around Bushwick. There's like, what, about 17, 18 locations?
Yeah, 18 different locations, but about 25 different shows in those 18 locations.
Talk right into your mic, honey. Pull it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Better?
Yeah.
Good. So thanks for having us on the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to support Arts in Bushwick. Always
this is
good.
Our friendly neighborhood backyard shed radio station.
Yeah.
So Beta Spaces actually is really Steve's excellent idea. It was born out of Bushwick Open Studios, which is Arts in Bushwick's main festival. And what we were seeing during Open Studios was a lot of people doing excellent curatorial work. That was not the goal of Open Studios, but it was one of the results. Mm. And so out of seeing that happening, Steve saw a need for creating a show that could focus on that. And so Steve can talk a little bit more about why we have it and what we do.
Yes, Beta Spaces is really about asking different artists to collaborate together and create curated group shows. Each show has a title and it has a description of about 15 to 20 words. And it's really about creating shows in alternative spaces all over the Bushwick, all over the neighborhood, whether that's in your loft, your studio, outside in gardens and alleyways. Really, any place you can think.
Yeah, you have one event that's happening right on the corner of where we are now, at Bogart and Moore. You have a thing about bling. Where did I see that? Sparkling?
That's right, yeah. 14D. Sometimes 14D. I doubt your commitment to sparkle motion. So
yes.
Sometimes
I doubt your commitment to sparkle motion?
It's a line from Donnie Darko. I don't know if you've seen the film, but they have a children's dance troupe in the film
not
called
hip enough.
Sparkle Motion, and one of the mothers says to the other, sometimes I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion. So it's a reference that I appreciate.
I am totally going to be using that. And that's on the corner of Grattan Street and Bogart Street between 12 and 5 p.m. So, you know, for those of you who are right in the neighborhood of Roberta's Pizza, where Heritage Radio Network is located, you can just come over, have a pizza, and then go check out your commitment to Sparkle Motion. And hopefully it will come up to snuff. And then I see there's a few other, some really other very interesting concepts here. There's the ETS Visitor Center.
That's actually ET's Visitor
ETS.
Center.
Oh, ET. Yes. Sorry, as in extraterrestrial. Okay. And that's Everyday Aliens Invite You to Show You What NASA Doesn't Want You to See. That's part of the vast right-wing conspiracy to keep us all Republicans, I guess.
Arts and Bushwick cannot be held responsible.
We're not responsible for any of the content.
None of the content.
Yeah,
we are responsible
Let's issue that
only
disclaimer
for
right
the organization
away.
Of the festival. If you don't like your visitor experience, you can talk to us about how it was to walk through our streets. But yeah. The content, it rests on the artists.
That's right. So listen up, artists. Make it happen. There's also Hipster Sex, if Bushwick is to hipsters.
Oh, that actually was canceled.
Okay. Okay. For those of you who see the card, number 14C, not happening.
And also the movie house at Third Ward was canceled.
Oh, that's too bad.
But the after party was definitely not canceled, and you were
okay.
All invited.
So that's the Beta Spaces after party at 76 Jefferson Street from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. This is a Sunday. Don't you guys have a job?
Yes. That's perfect why we're ending it at 12, not 2.
Okay. The perfect ending for your Bushwick day. This sounds great, you guys. So we have in the studio with us, we have Isabella and Mandy.
That's right.
Yes. And you're two of the artists who are going to be part of the Bushwick Beta Spaces Festival today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing?
Sure. We're actually two of the curators. We're currently going to school to study exhibit design. And we saw this event and got really interested in curating our own exhibit. And the idea came out of not really having a space of our own to do to do the exhibit in, so we wanted to look at using the public space. We decided to title the piece How to See Art in Bushwick, and what we're doing is using the everyday context of Bushwick, of the streets, the corners, all different viewpoints, and using actual fluorescent orange duct tape to create a faux stage area for the performers to perform. And then we're also using that tape to create a perspective view where we're asking the audience to stand and view the artists in action.
What kind of performances are you planning on exhibiting in this particular space?
Yeah, we have four different actual performers, and then we also are framing out two of the subway stops as a performative art in itself. But I'll let my partner Isabella talk about the performances.
Yeah, most of the performances are movement-based. There's one group, Julia Fotheringham and Jared Louder, and they have a collaborative live sound and dance relationship. And then there's one performer, John Bonafide, who's doing a performance with his mother, which is actually an interview about his family history that he's titled Bloodline, in which he's creating a right angle between himself on the street, his apartment, his mother above being interviewed, and then a string, which is dripping blood from the second floor window of his apartment down to the street into his mouth, which should be pretty intense. So we have quite a range of different performances. There's another girl who, Brittany Bailey, and her partner, Hannah Dora, who will be linking all the performances together because they kind of form a bit of a route, you know, being in between the 10-block radius of the performance space. And they're going to be moving throughout the spaces over the course of 3 hours and connecting them all together. So we kind of wanted to structure it in a way that people could either stumble upon it or be able to actually follow it. Yeah, make a bit of a route through Bushwick and kind of see the entire neighborhood.
Let me ask you something. I mean, you guys are talking about, you know, like it's all about Bushwick. So I don't live in Bushwick. So what is it about Bushwick that makes this, that's sort of the defining characteristic of Bushwick that inspires these art pieces?
Well, I've been living here for about 2 years, and as soon as I moved here, one of the things I loved about this neighborhood was it's kind of like dystopian, abandoned kind of feel. It's like this urban urban wasteland, but it's really beautiful in a way with the factories and the way it seems to be pretty... almost sometimes inhabited, depending on when you get off the station, out of the subway. Although, honestly, I mean, there are a lot of people here, but it depends on what type of day. But there's a lot of interesting things that you can find here, and a lot of people taking advantage of architectural space in interesting ways. And that particularly speaks to me, and I think spoke to Mandy as well, coming from Minneapolis.
Yeah, I was going to add in, I'm not from New York. And when I came here and met Isabella, and she took me around Bushwick, and I was totally just inspired by the beauty in this rundown area. So we decided, hey, why not call this out to everyone else that may not notice it every day?
Sounds I think good. Also we've seen a tremendous response to all different kinds of spaces in the neighborhood. There isn't a space that people haven't wanted to put art in over the course of the three festivals that Arts in Bushwick produces every year. And it's nice to be able to highlight that in the title of this festival, saying this isn't just about gallery space. This isn't just about formal art space. It's about more informal, casual spaces, spaces that are home spaces, spaces that are public spaces. What does it mean to live in an arts community and not just to participate in an art show? Mm-hmm.
So most of the people who are living out here in Bushwick, you'd say, are involved in the arts on one level or another?
Well, I don't know about most. This is a pretty diverse neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There is a huge artistic population here. There's a lot of art space being developed here and a lot of people trying to hold on to their spaces, either live, work, production spaces or spaces for, you know, performing arts, dance studios and rehearsal spaces, theater spaces, etc. I think that Bushwick has gotten a lot of attention as an up-and-coming artist neighborhood. I think that's good and bad. I was actually talking to Isabella about this before. I was saying, you know, a lot of people who are not identifying as artists don't necessarily feel comfortable in what is considered art space. Mm-hmm. That can be really problematic. If we're saying, okay, we're artists, we're taking over a neighborhood, people who don't feel comfortable in that are then like, oh my God, this isn't my neighborhood anymore because all these artists are doing all this really public stuff and I am not an artist. And like, that corner is an art project now. I can't touch that. So I sort of want to knock down that idea to say that yes, there are a lot of artists here, and yes, we want to make that visible, not just for our own self-promotion, but to display what's going on in the community, but also to say, like, this is accessible. This is something we want you to see. We're putting it outside because we want you to take part in it. We want you to be our neighbors, and we want to show you that we're your neighbors.
Yeah, we actually had a really good example of that last night when we were installing our tape. Basically, we have six sites, and you know, kind of a large amount of tape that we had to tape out. So we decided to do it at night, hoping that this would, you know, prevent us from being too noticeable and kind of being a surprise. And in one of the sites, this guy had parked his car on the street and was blaring at like 11 o'clock the loudest trans techno I've heard in a long time. And but our site happened to be right next to us. It's like, okay, there's nothing we can do. Like, attention is totally being drawn to us. But the guy came out of his car and he was kind of watching his tape for a while. And then he was like, so what are you guys tagging? Like, oh, we're not actually tagging. We're just, you know, taping out for this performance. So he just kind of stood there and he kept kind of asking a few questions. And he seemed interested. Mm-hmm. And I told him when it was happening and everything. And that was great. It was a great conversation. And hopefully maybe he'll come by this afternoon, you know. And he was like a local guy. He was like a Puerto Rican guy. And then later on, I had another experience where a guy came up while we were taping around Morgan and was laughing at what we were doing and like, what are you guys doing? And I said, oh, we're taping out. Gave basically the same response. He just walked off laughing. And this was a guy that was like a hipster dude who you would think would have, you know, maybe possibly an appreciation. But it was a complete opposite, you know. So you win some, you lose some, you never know. But as long as you keep it open, you know, investment. You're allowing for that opportunity.
It's about investment. It displays itself in a lot of different ways. And again, we have to put it out there to know who really is invested and who isn't. Just because somebody looks like you doesn't mean they give a shit about what you're doing. Just because somebody is totally different from you doesn't mean that they don't get what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he saw a similarity in what we're doing. Like, okay, so they're not tagging, but they're doing something that's kind of like tagging.
Mm-hmm. And then I get maybe, that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So. Mm-hmm.
And so also in the studio with us today is Rachel, who is a photographer. Rachel, why don't you talk about why you've come onto the show today?
Yeah, well, I actually don't live in Bushwick. And this is...
okay, you're fired.
This radio show is my participation in the festival. And yeah, I'm an artist. I'm a photographer. And I've been living in Manhattan for 10 years, struggling to find ways to get my art out there. And there's definitely been a shift recently, in the last year, especially with the sort of economic collapse. I think a positive shift for art, that the construct of, the art market and art being made for sale and made for profit and the structure of galleries and dealers and that sort of institution has fallen apart in a lot of ways. And, I think Beta Spaces is a really great example of young artists finding their own path, their own way to get their work out there. And I'm struggling to do that myself. So always constantly looking for opportunities to share my art, exchange, show, and sort of happened upon the Beta Spaces website in searching for opportunities to show my work. And I actually was in touch with the curator of the Hipster Sex Show, which was meant to be a photography exhibition, you know, and hoping to participate in that as well. So, and it sounds like that's something that will happen at another point in time, fortunately, you know, so that this is a one-day festival isn't to say that it's over at 7 p.m., because I think clearly it shows that there's a thriving community here, and this is not just it's not like Art Basel, which is this festival fair, you know, that happens in this flash in the pan. This is about a way of life and sustaining a community, and I'm just really excited to be able to be a part of it for at least this afternoon.
You know what strikes me listening to you guys is, you know, like this I'm not sure people have done exactly this same thing, but artists, you know, coming together in a particular neighborhood and opening up their homes or creating gallery spaces. I mean, my father was an artist and went to the Art Students League on the GI Bill, and all of his friends either were painters or opened galleries, or, I mean, this is, this is like part, you're really actually part of a long-standing tradition in Manhattan that has gone from one neighborhood to another. I mean, at one time it was on 57th Street, and then it was, you know, it was downtown, and then there was Soho, and now it's not Soho anymore. Now it's like, you know, way over west, and then now it's in Bushwick, or it was in Williamsburg, or, you know, it's like it's part of a continuum, really. Yeah.
Right. Well, Chelsea was the alternative to Soho, and then became the establishment.
And then became the establishment, exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll be
Williamsburg was the alternative to Chelsea.
Right.
And now is the establishment.
And now it's the establishment, and Bushwick is going to follow suit soon enough. I mean, and then the next thing you
we'll know, you'll
be out in Long Island City. Or
in the Bronx. I've heard things about the South Bronx. But, you know, the interesting thing about what we're doing so far, what Arts in Bushwick is doing as an organization, is that it's pretty deliberately non-commercial. We have had artists sell work as part of our festivals, and we think that's fantastic. We totally encourage people to sell their work and to make a living as an artist, but our mission as an organization is non-commercial. Mm-hmm. We're all volunteers. Everything that we do is designed on a break-even basis. It's really more so people can see community and can be inspired by their neighbors and create really mixed influence work and not always feel like they're in a constant state of competition, which a lot of gallery scenes has resulted in.
Yeah, that's for sure. You guys have certainly created a very slick little piece right here, though. I'm looking at the the card here. But this, I mean, this is a, you know, it's a four-color piece. I mean, I know you don't have four colors, but yeah, you do. You know, it's a nice card. It's on a slick piece of stock. I mean, obviously somebody is funding you. You're getting money from the community. You're making...
We're locally funded.
Yeah. I mean, you're... Let's talk a little bit about the local community support for Arts in Bushwick, because clearly it's happening. You're getting, you know, you're getting the attention of the community at large. They're giving you money. You're producing this nice thing. You're creating this fabulous event today. You know, how did you guys, because you haven't been around for that long, right? Arts in Bushwick
about
is a pretty young organization. Yeah.
Well, honestly, our festivals don't cost a lot to make. For instance, this festival probably costs about $500, if you can believe it, which is the cost of
which
printing
is the
that
cost
card.
Of the printing.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is all volunteer. Our graphic designer worked for free. Pega is wonderful.
That's fantastic.
I mean, when we do have the larger festival, we go around and we get people, different businesses to sponsor us, and it's been really great. We have a benefit 2 weeks before the open studios in the summer, and we usually raise about $3,000. We have all these artists to donate their works, and we sell them very
fantastic.
Inexpensively. I mean, really, our budget's not a lot of money, and it's we can do a lot with it because everyone is helping out.
Right.
I think also one advantage to the way that we operate is that we're an organization without a space. And that was kind of what got me thinking about Radio Space as a way of producing live art and why I wanted to be on the show today. Mm-hmm. We do not have to pay rent for an office. We don't pay for a phone line. We don't pay for so many things that so many organizations believe that they need. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure based on their operating models, they do need them. But we've been entirely successful so far operating out of my apartment, Steve's
apartment.
Right.
Laura Braslow's apartment, you know, various people's home spaces.
Right.
Galleries have donated their space and time. Theaters have donated their space and time. It's not just the money that we get from local businesses and individual sponsors, but people have just been incredibly responsive to our community demands.
Yeah, fabulous. Are there other organizations that work on the same model as you guys, or are you feel like you're sort of a pioneer? I mean, I can't think of any.
I can't say definitively that we're the only people. But I don't offhand know of any others.
Mm-hmm. I think we're a pioneer of this model, though, of this all-volunteer, asking everyone to just contribute their time and their energy.
Right.
I think if there's any comparison, maybe ABC No Rio, you know, in the Lower East Side. I mean, that's not around anymore, right? It's defunct now. But they kind of had a... But, I mean, it specifically had kind of an anarchist bent, I think. But you guys are much more accessible, I think.
Thank you. We try to be. I would say pretty firmly for everybody that we're not extremely anarchist. We're actually a very consensus-based group, and we've been operating on a consensus model pretty successfully. But it's nice to still embody the spirit of anarchy and potential because of, you know, not having a home.
It's not taking responsibility for the content.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a little scary out there. But, you know, I mean, how do you guys track, you know, the attendance at these events? Do you have any mechanism for, like, figuring out who's showing up and
well,
what kind of an impact it makes?
Some of the curators, for instance, will actually write down on Chicken Scratch and say how many people have come through their space. So we know last year in Beta Spaces, one of the spaces got 450 people in one day.
Wow, that's a lot.
So I'm actually expecting maybe 500-600 people today since it's such a nice day, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we don't have a formal way of tracking. We do have our mailing list, which you currently can't sign up for through our website. But
yes, because your website is
our website, like, unfortunately, has been hacked.
Toxic.
So do not visit artsinbushwick.org.
Well, your internet provider actually tells you not to visit.
Yeah, I know. But we do track through our mailing list, which has about 2,000 subscribers currently. And a lot of ways that we track is sort of more abstract. We say, okay, we know that we got press here, 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 and here. We assume that each of these things probably brought in approximately X number of people.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for total festival attendance? During Open Studios, which is actually 3 days long, we think we probably get about 3,000 people out here.
That's very respectable.
During the Site Fest, which is 2 days long, I think we got about 1,000, between 1,000 and 1,100 is my estimate.
Uh-huh.
So we don't really hurt for audience, and that's another way that we've received tremendous amounts of support.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what else, what are the highlights that you anticipate in Beta Spaces today? Who's going to be... Who's going to be like, I mean, not to pick out your favorites, but not pick out your favorites.
I really think at Gentoto, this number 15, In Part to the Product, Part of the Process, or Quest Phantom Festium, is going to be an amazing show. Paul always puts together these very academically challenged shows, which usually require the artist to complete a homework assignment.
So. It's at 250 Moore Street, apartment 10.
Right across the street from where we are now.
Yeah, right across the street. Apartment 108, she says, removing her glasses because I'm over 30.
And I would say 14B, 49 Bogart Street, number 27. The show is Formless in Context, A Study of Chaos and Discourse. Is a lot of new media works, video, film. Really interesting. Very interesting show.
Study of chaos and discourse. Now, what do you mean by that?
What it actually means?
Yeah.
You'll have to ask the curator when you visit the visit the show.
Uh-huh.
But it's a really beautiful show. I previewed it yesterday.
Okay, cool. This is new works, conceptually connected by an acceptance of social chaos. I'm not sure I even know what social chaos means, really.
You'll have to go and find out.
It probably means something like the Yankees ticker tape parade. I'm not quite sure.
No, but that's not chaos. It's just controlled mayhem.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, chaos, you know, chaos. What else is here? I mean, I you know, I look at these things. I guess I'm showing my age here, but I look at these names here, and I'm like, wait a minute. And okay, corporeality, which is going to be at 47 Beaver Street, appropriately enough, an examination of the physical self through the transfiguration and metamorphosis of the corporeal body. Is there another kind of body besides corporeal?
Academic body of work.
Very good, Chloe.
I mean, these titles are very heady because that's kind of the...
They're very heady.
That's the focus of Beta Space. It's really...
That would kind of bum me out, frankly.
No, it's a festival that's supposed to make you think a little bit.
I look at a lot of artwork and I'm thinking, what the fuck?
Well, it's a festival about trying to make you reimagine the work and the context of the work that you're producing. So you take a work and you just say, okay, put it on the wall. That's great. This festival is about, okay, let's think about how this plays into a larger theme, a larger identity, how it could work with other artists who you would normally never imagine the work next to.
Okay.
And it's about really transforming these individual spaces. So there could be photography and sculpture and dancing and poetry all in one space combined.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm following you there, Steve. You're doing a good sales job there.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. That's working for me.
I'm not sure. I think that it's a generational gap that, I mean, not all art appeals to all people, no matter what, you know, it's based on. And I would say that some of the titles of these things could deter young hipsters, just like the kids who were deterred by the orange tape.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I don't, you know, it's about what you're interested in and what you're excited about. I mean, the Bird's Eye View 2B sounds really interesting to me, a network of recycled art installations constructed on rooftops in collaboration and support of 350. I don't even know what 350
Who's
is.
350?
I can tell you, actually, 350 is a carbon emissions awareness project that's going on globally right now. They're based, I think, in Copenhagen.
Very good.
And what they're doing, so basically you can't have more than 350 units of carbon per air if you're going to have healthy people and trees and earth. Mm-hmm. We have way, way more than 350 right now. I don't know what the exact number is, but I think it's pretty close to 600. Mm-hmm. And so 350 is doing public art installations globally and just documenting them, sharing them through Flickr or through YouTube mm-hmm. or through various websites, just to say, like, we have awareness of this. Uh-huh. We're doing something really beautiful about it, but we're doing it so that other people have awareness too. And the girl who put together this project is actually one of my classmates in graduate school. Uh-huh. So I think she'll be pretty excited.
I mean, I love the idea of recycled art. I love reusing products to create artwork. So I'm all about the recycled art thing. But I don't know. You know, it's funny how these new conceptual pieces are really require a mindset that is so different from decade to decade. I mean, you really have to be a student of sort of the contempo art scene over a period of many years to really follow the trajectory of work like this. And so some of these things that are described here, I can really get behind. And then other things, I'm just thinking, this is nonsense. And I'm sure that there, you know, like there'll be people 10 years from now who will be building on that and it won't be nonsense anymore. But like, you know, to acquire the right headset for that is definitely part of one's long-term education plan. Which, this of course, also, I subscribe to.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty exploratory neighborhood artistically. It I can't is. Say that we fully embody the new. I don't know if anybody, any single location ever can fully embody the new. But we do
I'm
have people...
I'm deeply suspicious of the new.
Yeah, so. Well, it's understandable. But we do have a lot of people doing things here for the first time that they're intending to make bigger, take somewhere else, mm-hmm. Put into longer-term development. And yeah, eventually it won't seem so out there.
Yeah, Brooklyn Absolutely. Is very experimental in the art that's produced. And basically, I mean, I think in Manhattan is where art is bought and sold, per se. But Brooklyn is where you can experiment, you can kind of push those boundaries and just try something that's in your head that you've always wanted to try.
That's right. I think it's great. I mean, I went to a, in Williamsburg last fall, I went to a really fantastic sort of gallery walk. And I saw some ridiculous things, but I saw some fabulous things, things that I would never have thought of, I've never seen before. And I really enjoyed and loved them and appreciated, you know, what went into the making of these things. So I think, you know, I think it's always important to stay in touch with what's happening contemporaneously so that you stay connected to what the artwork of your generation is, so that you can tie that into the continuum of man's contribution to civilization through their artwork, whether it's looking at Renaissance paintings or whether it's mm-hmm. looking at conceptual pieces in 2010. I mean, it's all part of a continuum, and it's, I think, really important to maintain that sense of the history of it and where it's going and what it means in terms of how people view their culture, their society, and what they're sort of distilling out of it. And, you know, it can be as deep or as shallow as you yourself are able to interpret it. So now we have coming up, we're up at the 2 o'clock mark. So we have a couple of live performances who are going to be performers, I should say, who are going to be coming into the studio in a minute. Chloe, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what we're going to be hearing in the next 15 minutes or so.
Absolutely. So you're going to be hearing from two performers, Monica and Wolfgang. Monica and Wolfgang are both also my classmates. We're studying performance and interactive media at Brooklyn College. It's an MFA program. And when I mentioned that I was doing radio programming, they both said, we want to do something on the radio. So they're both exploring sound. Wolfgang has designed an 8-speaker computer system that he can operate live to produce live computer music. So he'll be doing that. Mm-hmm. And Monica will be singing over tracks that she's laid down on her computer previously and manipulating that on air for us.
Sounds great. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it too.
So would these two performers like to come in and talk a little bit about what they're going to do next? And yes, they would. And so Monica and Wolfgang are coming into the studio. And we're going to pass over a microphone and a headset to them. Yeah, you guys can.
KnifeShowMusic.com.
And we're back. This is the Main Course Part Q on Heritage Radio Network. We are sponsored by the Hearst Ranch today. And we are continuing our Arts in Bushwick presentation for Beta Spaces, Bushwick Exhibition Triangle of Alternative Spaces. I have in the studio with me now Chloe Bass, who is the spokesperson for Arts in Bushwick. And then we also have two fabulous performers. We have Wolfgang. Would you like to tell me your last name?
Gil,
G-I-L. Wolfgang Gil. Yeah. And we have Monica.
Monica Rosuello.
Monica Rosuello. Okay. I think I did
just
that pretty well.
Monica works too.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, if we want to buy your records, like, you know, down, or I shouldn't say that, CDs down the road. I date myself.
LP.
No, yeah, we don't have those anymore. Although I understand that's coming back. The LP format is coming back because the sound quality is better, right? Mm. So Wolfgang, you need to pull your microphone a little closer to your face so that we can hear you like right on mic. Yeah, don't be shy about talking into it. So guys, Chloe, why don't you introduce these two guests and then they can tell us a little bit about what they're going to be presenting today and we can go right into the performances.
Absolutely. So both Monica and Wolfgang are my collaborators and are fantastic and very different musicians from each other. I'm looking forward to what they're both bringing for us today. Monica, if you want to speak a little bit about what you have brought in.
I guess it's found sound coupled with electronic beats that I create on the computer.
Cool.
And with the live vocal element.
So Monica, do you use SoundGarage? No, GarageBand.
I do use GarageBand.
On the Mac. Yeah. I saw you had a Mac, so I was like, oh, wow, I have that too. You mean I can do this too? Of course, I can't sing, but I mean, I could make these sounds myself. Well, if you're really talented, I guess.
Right? You can make any sounds. I think one of the sounds in the song I'll be playing is my husband yawning.
Really?
Yeah.
So by found sounds, you're saying that you collect sounds from everyday life and you incorporate them into a soundtrack, which you then create vocalizations or vocal song to?
You know, I'm experimenting with that now.
Uh-huh.
But originally when I started recording, there was just so much sound in my house. And I would say, I'm recording. And nobody would shut up. So
right. That
was my found sound.
Wow.
So my niece walking around, my son crying and trying to get at me, and my husband yawning.
Oh, gee, I can't wait to hear you keep crying. That's going to be fun. Okay, you better make that really good. Because I've outgrown that part of my life.
God, I'm hopefully going to be there
now
soon.
I hear a teenager whining.
Oh, I hear that's the hardest
nah,
part.
That's great. It's all good. It's great. Being a parent is wonderful fun. And how about you, Wolfgang? Let's hear a little bit about what you're going to be doing.
Basically, I'm going to do a random sound composition.
Random sound composition.
Yeah, by using custom software developed on Max MXP.
So you're a total techno geek.
Wolfgang is a software developer.
Exactly.
Max MXP is a program designed for interactive performance platforms. So it can be used with dancers, it can be used in a theater, it can be used with sound.
You're scaring me, Chloe.
It's actually kind of terrifying to me as well. I know how to talk about it, but not how to operate it.
Yeah, really? I mean, I kind of got lost there. Okay, so Wolfgang, so you're telling me that you're working with a specific sound platform.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm using Max MXP, as Chloe explained. It's software. It's a programming language.
It's a programming language.
So you can develop your own instruments.
It mimics sounds from real instruments and from everyday life?
Actually, I use digital noise.
Digital noise. What is that?
Digital noise is the consequence of a process that where this digital sound is created in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
There is no natural source. The mm-hmm. sound is created inside the computer.
Well, I have a friend who's a composer, and he composes a lot on his computer using various programs. Would that uh-huh. be the same kind of thing? I mean, he can compose, he can pull up a string section, he can create percussion, he can create winds.
But this
is not the same thing, is it?
In this case, no.
So digital sound sounds very like you described your piece as random sound?
Yeah.
The system for like outputting it is randomized.
Exactly.
So the way that the sounds are coming out is not
so
previously constructed.
It's
constructed live.
Or don't you care?
I think randomness is fair. So
it's fair.
That's what I'm looking for.
Very interesting. And how do you decide what fair is?
I don't have to decide. It's random.
But you've made a qualitative decision about whether it's fair or not fair.
Because there's equal opportunity to hear almost anything in a randomized process in theory, equal opportunity is fair. I mean, that's what we call fair. Yeah. So if at any time anything has an equal chance of happening, whatever happens next is the fair choice.
Okay, I'm going to think that over.
Yeah.
But it's pretty philosophical.
That's an excellent explanation, Chloe. Thank you.
It's based on...
Okay, so I think my boys are gesturing to me that we need to get rolling with this. So Jack and Nat, are we starting with Monica or with Wolfgang? We're starting with Monica. Allora.
Monica.
Okay. So we're going to start up her sound underlay. And then she's going to sing. So you're going to cue her, right?
I have buried my shoelaces in wet cement. Now I'm waiting for my tears to dry on a street named Happiness. And I am done. I am still. I am silent. And I am done. I am. I think I am free to breathe and roam until breathing isn't free. Free to breathe and roam until I can't till the sun came up again. And I am done. I am still. I am silent. And I am done. I am. I think I am free to breathe and roam. And free, free to breathe and roam until I can't breathe.
Fabulous. That was great. Thank you so much, Monica. That was wonderful. Tell us again what the name of that song was.
And Cement.
Cement. And people can listen to it again on podcast on heritageradionetwork.com. That'll be captured for the ages. You'll be archived in our cloud tag.
You guys can't hear it, but there's a huge applause outside of Roberta's.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, that was just wonderful. It was really lovely. Thank you very much. I'm so excited that you brought that to the studio. It's great to have that kind of live performance here at Heritage Radio Network. So I think our next piece that's going to queue up, guys, and then we'll come back after Wolfgang's and we'll talk a little bit more about both of your projects. So Jack and Nat, how are we doing with Wolfgang's piece? Okay, here we go. C'est bon, hein? Are we coming? We're coming along here. So Wolfgang is going to get in front of his computer now, it looks like. And he's going to queue up his thing. Oh, this is so cool. I love this.
In the meantime, I'll remind the listeners that all of our shows are available on podcast through iTunes simply by searching Heritage Radio Network on the iTunes Store.
Thank you, Jack. That's great. And let's also remind our listeners that our program is supported today by the Hearst Ranch, yes. One of the greatest meat producing. You think it's just magazines? Oh, no, no, no. Hearst has 155,000 acres of ranch land out in California that they have preserved for the ages here. We are all the benefit of the Hearst largesse in the sense of maintaining our ecosystem on the West Coast. So, Wolfgang, what's your last name?
Gilles.
Sorry. Yeah. I knew I had it in there, but I forgot. So Wolfgang Gilles is going to play a piece that is about 7 or 8 minutes long that is composed on his Chloe. Tell me what the computer platform is.
Max MSP.
Max MSP. I feel really hip just saying that. And we're gonna enjoy something. I mean, I'm so blown away by Monica's piece that I can hardly even, you know, articulate my next thought. But anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing what Wolfgang has for us. Again, a computer, basically a sort of computer-generated piece that creates random sounds in a fair and
philosophical manner.
Yeah, exactly. It's fair music. He's not going to favor a C over a D or a major over a minor. He's going to go for the fair.
I'd also like to remind the listeners that 3:30 today, live cutting the curd episode, and at 5 o'clock is the Mr. Cutlet show, so if you're tuning in now,
woo-hoo!
Stick with us.
Big
I think we're
doings,
about ready.
Big doings in Mr. Cutlet's world.
Dude.
What kind of crack are you smoking, man? Well, thank you, Wolfgang Schill, for that composition of random computer noise. Did it have a name?
Noir.
Noir. Noir.
It's a... I use a software to randomly create the name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not even black.
No.
No, it's just noir.
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. Okay. Well, we couldn't have had a greater contrast between the two, like the found sounds of Monica and the random sounds of Wolfgang Schill with noir. Thank you very much for bringing that into the studio. Fascinating. I can't say I'd be buying a CD right away, but you know, I'm sure there are those who like really groove on the techno sound.
Yeah, actually, I think I will make a surround sound composition with visuals, and maybe I will. I'm working on a DVD for this piece.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That will have visual elements?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what kind of visual elements? Will those also be chosen at random?
Will be fed by the song itself.
So what do you mean by that?
The digital samples of the sound will be processed and converted into images.
Will they be images like of ones, twos, and threes? Or will
colors,
they be
basically.
Oh, colors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, this has been great, you guys. I think we should just like remind people once more that today until 7 p.m., Beta Spaces, which is a program put on by the Arts in Bushwick Foundation, or what do you call yourself?
Arts We're just in Arts in Bushwick.
Arts
That's
in Bushwick.
It. Yeah.
So my guests have been many, but Chloe Bass, especially, who put together this wonderful group of people today who to come in and talk about their work. Monica, thank you so much. That was fabulous. Wolfgang, really enjoyed your piece. And I think people should know that they can visit these various locations all around Bushwick. So if you see something that you don't really expect to see on the street or in the subway, you'll know that it's part of the Arts in Bushwick.
We put it there on purpose.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just a random thing. It's a real thing. It's part of the community. And why don't you give us a sense of like what after this, what's next for Arts in Bushwick, and what are you guys hoping to build? You know,
sure.
You're going to build something on here.
Yeah, we do. Our next festival is the Site Festival, which is in the spring, and I'm actually the producer for that.
Fabulous.
It's 2 days of performances. Last year we had 102 performances in 2 days.
Wow.
Spread out over about 35 spaces. So we're going to be doing that the first weekend of March. And then other than that, we have ongoing community projects throughout the year. So we're partnering with other organizations in the neighborhood, not specifically arts-based organizations. Although we do work with some galleries and arts education programs, we also work with senior citizen centers, local newspapers, community groups, local politicians.
Fabulous.
To mobilize the group of people that we have access to through these events and the other programs that we run. So if we don't see you in March for our festival, hopefully we can see you at one of our meetings or on the street. You can stop us and talk to us.
How do people get in touch with Arts in Bushwick? Because I know you're...
our emails are all still working, although our website is down.
But the
down.
Website has been badly affected by the virus. So.
If you want to reach me or Steve, who was on the program earlier, my email is Chloe, C-H-L-O-E, at artsinbushwick.org.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is... normal Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at artsinbushwick.org.
And how can, is there a way for people to access the Beta Spaces program today? Is there
yes,
someplace
there
where they can
is
see that,
a website.
Where to
it's
go?
betaspaces@starkandnemo.com.
So
and that's our interim website.
S-T-A-R-K?
Yes, Stark, S-T-A-R-K, and Nemo, N-I-M-O, .com.
Okay, cool. So you can look at that, and you can see there are 18 different spaces, more or less, to go and take a look at what's happening at in Bushwick with alternative spaces and with performing arts groups, as well as with audio, video, photography, kind of you name it, right?
Yep.
And then there's things in subways, there's things on the street. And then at the very end of the day from 7 to 12 this evening until 12 a.m. this morning is the Beta Spaces after party.
Which actually also, I've curated the party as an art show. So if you come, you're participating in an art show that will involve dancing. We have a fantastic DJ. We have an art show that's going to be up in the space. We'll be showing films and having two live musical performances, one electronic and one acoustic.
Amazing. So, and if you can make it out. So where is that going to be?
That's going to be at a space called Page Not Found, which is 76 Jefferson Street between Evergreen and Bushwick Avenue.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you all for coming into the studio today. It was really fun.
Thanks,
Chloe,
for
thank
us.
You so much for
My
putting
pleasure.
This together. It was great.
Anytime.
Monica, thank you for your beautiful performance. And Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener, thank you very much for your really yeoman's duty here, getting all this hooked up at the very last minute.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That was really terrific.
Thank you.
And we hope we'll welcome you back into the studio before your event in March, right?
Looking forward to it.
So you can tell us again about what's happening in the community in the art world in Bushwick. This has been the Main Course Part Q on Heritage Radio Network, sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. Thank you to all of our guests today, and thanks to our boys in the booth. Bye now. See you next week.